Beyond Trucker, and the cooperative show Night Visions. And now for your featured show.
Did you tell Tony how to get all this?
I thought he knew. Has
come. Oh. A pale moon shines below, and the stars are waving light. It must be time for Night Moon Radio. We'll be moving to the groovy music, hitting lots of words, and be entranced by time of art. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in. We're glad you've come to listen.
It is the 5th of July after the 4th of July. It's another evening of Night Moves Radio. Sorry we weren't here last Thursday. Last Thursday was my birthday. I went and got a whole nother year older, so now I even feel more like an old woman. But this morning I feel even more, I mean, actually this morning I felt more like an old woman. And I was waking up early this morning at 5:30 a.m. to move the fan on me because, like, I'm notorious. I've got to have the fan on me. And I don't know what happened. I was trying to get off the side of the bed. I don't know. I think it was my right leg. Something got caught in the blanket. I couldn't get up for nothing. And I fell and I tripped and I fell on my right side. And mind you, our bedroom, like our house that we live in is really old. So like the bedroom's like tile floor. So yeah, and I fell and heard, there was a Josh and probably the neighbors downstairs heard a really loud thud.
It sounded like it hurt.
It does hurt. My whole right side is very sore. So I feel even older today. I've been kind of hurting all day. But you know, I am kind of clumsy and I have been known to fall a few times. I think I get that from family genetics. Like, you know, yay. So anyway, I hope everyone had a good 4th of July. Actually, I stayed in all day yesterday because, Arthur, we had our fireworks last Saturday on the 30th. It's like the best show in Illinois,
and
literally.
It'll spoil you if you see it.
Yeah, probably the only fireworks I've seen closest to that was the ones at Disney World.
I've never seen those.
So. Yeah. So other than that, like, I can't really watch too many other fireworks anywhere else. And it was hot as heck. And with my asthma, I was like, nope, staying in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our thing right now.
Yeah.
Tonight we've got guest Tom Brown. And Josh, what song was it that we just played?
That was The Awakening by Pensive Fear. And Tom Brown is the lead guitarist and songwriter of Pensive Fear. And also on the vocals was my good friend Matt Stoyanov.
Oh, that band. You know, I've been trying to figure out what.
From Fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
He, they're the ones that you wrote.
I wrote the three ghosts, like, worked on the short story for it, like, adapted it into the album, into a short story. And I also worked on what's going to be their latest, the short story form for their latest album. I can't say too much on that, but that's going to be coming out soon. Well, they've already announced that it's going to be called The Two Keys, but I can't say any more about that. But
yeah, what they actually do, like the person who wrote, they actually find someone to narrate what you wrote.
Yeah, and
they take audio.
They use the weird, he's called the weird Satanist guy, and he's a like little celebrity. He's a celebrity on the internet to narrate it, and it was pretty good.
So yeah,
that's on YouTube now. It's up on YouTube.
Yeah,
narrated
the story. The one where the kid has to murder people. Is that the one that's been released?
Yeah, in order to save his... Well, yeah, I mean, it was...
I mean, we can talk about it, right?
Well, but yeah.
Okay, so, like, that story's really creepy.
Yeah, it's the one where he has to... But this isn't Pensive Fear, though.
Yeah, I know, it's something different.
Yeah,
but
that's the one where the kid, to save his mother from cancer, he makes a deal with the devil, and he has to kill three people.
Yeah, that story, when I read it, it, like, actually really freaked me out. I mean,
it's meant to. Like, it's the rawest horror story I've ever written.
Normally,
I don't do the, like, hack and slash.
No.
But I do the supernatural Lovecraftian type stuff. But Matt wanted to go with this one. But the next one's going to be more Lovecraftian, the one that I've already done and is going to be released. But this one is more, you know, hack and slash type stuff.
Gotcha.
Axe murdering type, you know.
I'm just so excited about that. I mean, I did write a few poems about it, demon torturing people, but this one was like, oh my gosh, way better. Anyhow, looks like I think we've got Tom Brown on the other line, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to bring him on. Good evening. Is this Tom Brown?
Yes, this is.
Okay. Welcome to Night Moves Radio, and how are you tonight?
I am doing quite well, and I hope both of you are doing the same.
Doing okay, aside from feeling a little sore. But other than that, I don't know if you heard the beginning. I fell off the side of my bed this morning trying to move the fan. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that don't sound real good.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just hurt a little bit. You know, it's not the best part of waking up, like, you know, Folger's coffee. So.
No, that's not a good thing at all.
So I think Josh is pretty excited to have you on tonight. And since he is the more of the knowledgeable person of metal music and everything, I'm going to let him probably ask a lot of the questions tonight and talk to you. I don't, no offense, I don't listen to a lot of metal. Josh showed me some other songs. I'm more of some of the songs he likes, more melodic rock. So, you guys are very talented. I mean, and able to get up there and play the guitar and, you know, I can't do that. I'm learning piano, but I mean, you do have a lot of talent. So I will give you that. And, you know, so.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. I'll give you, you guys have a lot of talent. Just, you know, I grew up, you know, my dad was into metal and my brother was into metal and my mom was into like pop and like country. And I think when I was in her belly, she played like a lot of country and pop. So it kind of stuck with me. So like, I like classical, like, some pop, but not today's pop. We're talking 90s. I don't like rap. And I like, you know, what Josh likes to call holy roller music. I like a bit of contemporary Christian music. And I like some Christian rock.
And you like melodic rock.
Yeah, and some melodic rock and some 80s stuff. So I have a broad spectrum. It's just for some reason my ears just don't like some of the metal. It's like fingers on a chalkboard for me.
it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a bunch of songs that I wrote that actually aren't metal. But, you know, that's just, it's not going on any defensive beer stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, I can do it in, you know, Tomorrow's End, which is a band I have with my wife, actually.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, stuff like that, which a lot of people don't know, you know, which is cool. You know, I like all kinds of different music. I listen to just about everything. It's not just, I mean, I play progressive metal and power metal. That's kind of what I like. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's just so many genres of music that it's, you know, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing, though.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, to like out there. But, like, I did just want to let you guys know that I do think you're very talented. And, you know, what you guys do and get out there and sing, I mean, that takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage. So, like, you know, because I didn't want you to think, oh, she's going to knock her music. So, no, I think you guys are very talented. So.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And that is a very kind compliment. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
But, you can't please everybody.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I think Josh is anxious to,
you know.
Yeah, Josh is anxious to speak with you. So, I don't want to hog up too much of the time. So, I'm going to let him take the reins tonight. So, go ahead.
If you have questions to ask, you know, and opinions are great. I mean, seriously, they are.
Well,
there's no dumb questions. There's all, you know, everything's positive. That's how I look at it.
Good.
That's how you learn.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Well, Tom, I must say that song Awakening that we just played, that has a very Queen of the Reich, era Queensryche feel to it. was that in, did you take a influence from that at all? Or does it just happen to sound like that a little bit?
No, I mean, I love Queensryche, don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. They're an excellent band. I love Dream Theater too, and that's what, excuse me, that's what a lot of people kind of put me in that category. I mean, they already exist, and that, to me, it's fabulous.
Mm.
You know, it's, that's a great compliment, a great place to be.
Mm.
But The Queen of the Reich, I love that song.
Mm.
And, I mean, most of my music is just, it is geared vocally, but a lot of it's, that's just kind of how it comes out, the way the mood is, I guess.
Mm.
I'm not sure. That's kind of what I like.
So how was it working with Matt Stoyanoff? Him and I are really good friends.
Yeah. Oh, Matt's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fabulous vocalist. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate right now, which is fantastic.
Mm.
You know, I mean, he's doing quite well for himself. And I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more than that. I mean, he's fabulous. I mean, he did an excellent job on the album. I couldn't ask for anything. I couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, he did everything great.
Yeah, I mean, he is, I mean, the epitome of a progressive power metal singer. He has all the chops you need, pretty much. I mean, I think, in my opinion, from what I've heard from him, I mean, he has that high voice, that aggressiveness, the whole sound. I mean, it's just spot on.
It's incredible. And the weirdest thing of all, what the general public don't know, is this album's like 10 years old. I wrote this album 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I just released it. Yeah, everybody thinks, and the funniest part is everybody thinks this is the first album. This is the fourth album.
I had seen that Pensive Fear. I did look at your history and see that you released previous albums with previous singers, I think, too, right? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I started out with a good friend of mine, Olsen, which was but East Country. That's where his heart is. Even though he was a metal singer, I mean, from Forbidden Entry album, if you hear that, that's Joel. And that's, you know, he's East Country. You know, God bless him, man. Mm-hmm. I wish him all the luck in the world. He's a great guy.
Well, some of the greatest country songs, I mean, tell a story. I mean, all music tells a story, but, like, I mean, I like some of the 90s country. That's kind of like when I was in 8th grade. Okay, let's see. I graduated in high school in 99, so I was in 8th grade, probably about 94. So, maybe 93, 94. There was a lot of good country songs. One of my favorite, I don't know if you've heard of it, and your friend has heard of it, Bubba Shot the Jukebox. But, you know, they tell good stories, you know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of people say country is like, you know, they're talking about beer and girls and their trucks. And, well, yeah, that fits in there. But, you know, some of them are really, like, stories from their heart. So, I mean, that's why I try not to, like, you know, put it down because people, you know, kind of stereotype it. So, I mean, you know, like I said, everyone's heart, you know, might be different music, but I do like that about country.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, most of the stuff that a lot of the artists do are just incredible. I mean, the songwriting ability, the company that they keep, the people that help them behind the scenes, that the general public just has no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the majority of the songs, some of the artists don't actually write them.
Yeah.
They have writers that actually do that for the record company.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying every artist is like, I'm not saying that, but I mean, it's all in having a good song that a good vocalist is going to nail the song.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's kind of what you want.
I mean, like I said, it all starts, you know, I think, with the songwriting. I mean, that's why, like, and, you know, Josh McGringe at this young girl, but I hate to bring her up because she's, like, really in the stream right now, but little Grace Vanderwall, I mean, she's, just turned 15 not long ago. 2 years ago, she won America's Got Talent. She's just a teenager, and she writes all of her own music.
I know, that's like Taylor Swift doing the same thing. Now that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like most of the stuff that I write is all concepts. I do kind of like what King Diamond does, a concept type album, where you have to listen kind of the whole album to get the gist of it, not just one song. Because listening to one song, you're going to get the feel of the emotion of that particular song, but you're not going to get the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my albums are concepts that start with a story and, you know, so on. Or I'll start with the end first and then go back to the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of like what Star Wars did.
Weird, but once you broke out on me.
I said that's what Star Wars did. They started with the end and went to the beginning.
Exactly. But it's all, like I said, music's all in what each individual likes. You know, I like writing heavy metal stuff, but like I said, I wrote other stuff that's a little more boppy, not Pets of Fear stuff, you know, but, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't know. But the good thing about being a writer, composer, and doing all this stuff, plus owning your own studio helps.
Oh yeah,
owning your own studio. Wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool to have your own studio.
What I want to do, since I've been learning piano for over a year, people told me some different programs I can download. I can read music because I was in band as a young child. The only thing new I had to learn how to read the bass clef. I already knew how to read treble. What I want to do, since I'm already a writer, I write poetry. I want to learn how to put together my own music, and so, you know, like my own like music to go with my lyrics. I actually got out a hymn that I wrote back in 2002 that I had someone write a melody to. And that's what I want to do. I want to take, because someone else had to put the music to it. So I find that fascinating how you guys, you can write your own music, like the guitar and the drums and everything to go with your lyrics. That's what I find fascinating, because like I'm going to be able to do that with piano.
Well, the weirdest part is, I mean, I played guitar for like 37 years, mm-hmm. but I took drum lessons. I took four years of drum lessons before I even played guitar.
Wow.
So, I mean,
wow.
Not only can I play guitar, I play bass, I can do drums, and I can do some of the technical drums and stuff like that. That's how I write it. But, you know, and I definitely keyboards a little bit and do a lot of our intros and have a couple keyboard songs, which you're not going to really hear on Pensive Fear. I mean, the keyboard is in Pensive Fear, and I do that for, in case a record company would want to buy out my music, they don't have to add something and I don't have to pay extra for an artist as a writing fee or give up some of the publishing. The good thing with me is, since I own everything, I own my publishing and my writing, both. So, I mean, that's one smart thing I can kind of tell the bands out there, if you're listening, don't give up your publishing. Mm-hmm. The record company is going to say, hey, you know, well, you're going to get 100% of your writing, and they're not lying. You are, but they're not telling you about the publishing.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's something you kind of got to watch. Yeah, I'm not knocking any record company. The good thing is I own it, so if they want it, they have to buy me out. So
now,
and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Publishing
so.
Music's a little bit different than publishing books.
Yeah.
Can you explain, like, I guess I don't know much about it. Publishing music, like, do you mean like when they play it on the radio, yeah. or were they sending the music too? What do you mean by publishing the music?
Well, as you can do it with ASCAP, you can do it with BMI, there's quite a few different organizations you can be with. I just so happen to be with ASCAP, but they look out for basically radio airplay and television and how you license your material, if it would be in a national commercial where you're actually going to make money, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. That's how they kind of protect you and they make sure you get paid for it.
Uh-huh. So they kind of decide where your music goes. They kind of decide where your music goes then.
Well, I mean, you still have to have a publisher, but
yeah.
I have my publishing license, so I do that myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can do that through ASCAP, and you have all your category, depending if you're going to do, you know, some sort of commercial or whatever, you know, you're going to have backing to make sure you actually get paid.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is.
So is it more difficult if, like, say, since you publish your own music, you're your own publisher, is it more difficult to, say, to get your music out there than if you were to actually join, like, a record label?
Well, yeah, but there is such thing as direct marketing, and I do have actually a record company in the UK that's distributing Pensive Fear. So that's kind of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's world global distribution, but that's, you know, here or there. I still have to do all the advertising,
yeah.
which that takes a long time.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of similar.
Know, especially when you do, you know, direct marketing and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and you do it on your own. Record companies, a lot of the record companies have a lot of stuff cinched up, I should say. You know, and I'm not down in any record company.
Uh-huh.
I don't want people to think that, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But they have most of the distribution, most of the studios, and I mean, they have their hand in a lot of stuff that the general public just don't know.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the bands don't know either. You know, unless you've been into business and studied it for a long time. I mean, I've been into business since I was 16 years old.
Oh wow!
And I've read constantly about it. You know, and I'm 51 now, so I'm not no spring chicken. I've been around a lot, and I'm not afraid to say my age either. But you know, that's you know, I know I've seen things come, I've seen things go, and you know, I mean, record companies are just that.
Yeah.
Record companies. You know, it's not a nonprofit organization. It's,
mm-hmm.
They're out to make money.
Yeah.
And you do what they say. And if you don't, you either get shelved or you get fired.
Yeah.
yeah.
Man.
You know, that's why I didn't want someone to tell me to do. So I did my
yeah.
own label. And
I totally understand.
I tell myself what to do.
I understand.
You know?
Yeah, I totally understand.
You know, you're going to be here. You're going to do this and have an A&R rep with you saying, oh, you have to do this interview. You have to do that one. And I don't care about your family. And I don't, you know, it's like, you know, put brakes on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So
that's a good thing I don't have to worry about. I have the option to say no.
Yeah. So like being an independent or an indie musician is almost similar as being like an indie author, because, you know, we decide, you know, what books we want to publish and where we want to sell them. And then like an indie musician kind of does something similar,
yeah.
kind of, right?
Yes. There's so many avenues that you can explore if you really research it. Any band can do it. I mean, any band. But a lot of them don't put the effort to it. Or I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to do it. You know, it's It's not hard if you really put your mind to it and study. You learn how to read. You learn how to write. You can learn how to manage your band. I mean, or get a management, reputable management company, production company, or, you know, vice versa, whatever you're going to do. But it's not that hard. Research it a little bit. That's what you're in the business for.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing in a band and you want to actually make money, kind of got to do some of this stuff. Or you're going to have a lot of people just take advantage of you, and that's not really going to get you nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played here, I played here. That's great. How much you get paid? You know, nothing. Well, what's that doing for your band? So you're telling me your band's worth nothing. Is that what you're telling me? You know, you have to think of it as a business. And it's sad that a lot of bands, you know, don't do that. But, I mean, it is a business. That's why they call it the music business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a nonprofit organization, you know.
Well, thanks for explaining all that.
I'm always sad, but, you know.
I'm always interested in the technical side of things.
Long-winded.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm always interested in the technical side of things, and I was just curious, so I appreciate you explaining that.
No, I mean, there's a lot of avenues for anybody to explore. I mean, like, if you want to do your song on piano, for instance, the easiest place I can tell you to go is the library. It has everything. It has the books on, okay, here's how you can write a song, or here's how you can write a melody, or if you have the melody in your head, for instance, how you want the song to go, for instance, like, say you, la, 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 la. Now, since you're going to play keyboard, figure out those notes on the keyboard. Oh, okay, that's A, E, D. Oh, okay, now you start with melody, and that's how you create your song.
Mm-hmm.
You have a starting point, and then you just add to it, like, I want to change it up here, make it lighter here, depends on what chords you're going to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Make it fun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
About.
Yeah,
fun.
It is. It is pretty fun. Now, Tom, tell us a bit about the band that you, the band project you have going on with your wife.
Tomorrow's End.
Yeah,
that was in a little bit of a hiatus, which we had, you know, a couple people, you know, that's in the band. We still have it. We're just on a little bit of a hiatus because I'm actually playing in another band that, which is Hot Damn, which does classic rock, you know.
Now, are
that's something else.
Is it all original stuff like Pensive Fear?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's cover stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see. And how many bands?
What
was that?
He's cutting out a little.
Oh,
sorry, it's where I'm at.
Oh, okay. How many bands have you been in, Tom?
A lot. Here's a lot. Wow. I started off back when I said, when I was about 16 years old, I was playing in a band called Strike Four with a bunch of buddies of mine. And I was, you know, barely even allowed in a bar, you know. So, I mean, we did a couple bars. They let me in and we played, you know. I couldn't drink or anything, of course, or that would be, you know, not a good thing. But that's how I kind of got my feet wet. And it was fun for me. It was entertaining. And then I played, you know, with a couple other bands, and then I played with Anaconda, which was pretty big around here, you know, back in the day, in the late '80s, mid '80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that with, you know, friends of mine, which are still friends to this day, you know. And my cousin played in the band, Sean, which he got killed in a car accident.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that kind of ended. No, that's okay. It's not good, but I mean, that kind of ended that era.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played in just, you know, oh my goodness, you know, like Psycho, and I just, oh my goodness, I can't remember all of them. Strictly Wicked, there was a lot. And in Strictly Wicked, we had Mitch Weissman and Gene Simmons listening to our demos.
Gene Simmons,
they wouldn't actually produce it.
Wow.
What was that?
I said Gene Simmons? Wow.
Yeah, and Mitch Weissman. They were the two that was actually going to produce the album. And there was internal problems with the bands, just like a lot of them. The bass player had the connections, and the other guitar player had all the equipment, and they couldn't get along.
Oh.
And it's like, guys, we made it this far, and
yeah,
you guys are just going to throw it away with your attitudes. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what happened. And, you know, I get to tell people that, but, you know, it looks good on paper. You know, the deal wasn't landed, and, you know, hey, it looks good on paper. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
But, I mean, it was a fun time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So, as a guitarist, what are some of your biggest influences?
Oh, wow. I can't say in order, but I mean, my favorite's Paul Gilbert from Razor Act, and Mr. Big, of course, and he's from Spanish native, he's from Greensburg, but he's my favorite. Randy Rhoads, of course, Eddie Van Halen, Crystal Pelletieri, Sean Lane, just Bing Malmsteen, you just have Michelangelo. I got to meet him. He was abusive. Mr. Angelo was a great guy. Very down to earth and just incredible. And he's left-handed, too. Didn't know that. Played his guitar right-handed, but when I got his autograph, it was left-handed. I went, what? You know, and he said, yeah, I learned guitar right-handed. My teachers, you know, and he's funny. He's a funny guy. You know, he was really down to earth.
Hmm.
And I just have so many. I just can't possibly name all of them.
Yeah.
That I have so much respect for. Yeah.
So are there any future plans for Pensafear? I know evidently, like you said, Hot Damn is on your front burner right now, but in the future, are there any plans for Pensafear?
Well, I mean, yeah, Pensafear. I mean, right now I'm filling in the rest of the shows for the year for them guys. And Pensafear is going to rear its ugly face. There's no doubt in my mind. It's going to. And I have put a lot of thought into Pensafear for many years. And it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just simple kids. You know, members, now that's a different story, but it's going to happen. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, it's just, it stuff takes time, and to find the actual right members that can do it is kind of the hardest part, especially when you're doing a little bit more technical music, mm-hmm. where it's not just three chords and you're done, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little more technical than that, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And I do that because that's the way I like it, you know.
But yeah.
To some of the general guitar players, they might say it's too hard or I can't do it or whatever, but anybody can do it if they try. I'm here to encourage, not discourage. That's, you know, that's my big thing, you know.
Right.
Encourage people, you know. Put the attitude behind. There's a difference between being confident and being arrogant. Being
exactly.
confident is good. Being arrogant, that's not good. That's bad. There's always someone better. Always.
Yeah, because I can tell you, I had my own band going, and arrogance is what killed it. Our lead guitarist pretty much had a God complex, and that was the end of that.
Nah, you can't do that. There's always someone better.
I mean,
hell, there could be some guy sitting in the boondocks somewhere, just sitting on a deck overlooking a pond that'll just rip your face off.
Yeah.
And no one will ever hear of him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way he likes it, or whoever, if he or she. I've seen some excellent young guitar players now that were fantastic, and they were girls. They just rip your face off.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's practice, that's dedication. And, you know, I've never heard anybody that could play fast put it down. It's the people that usually can't do it that put it down. But you look at all the guitar players through history, and I'm not saying, you know, heavy metal, I'm saying in general.
Right.
All the good guitar players took a lot of practice, and yeah, they were quick because they practiced at it. Chet Atkins is one. He don't even, that's country. You know, Roy Clark was another one, years ago, with classical music. You know, all these guitar players would rip your face off, and they're not heavy metal at all.
You're making this music industry sound so violent.
I didn't hear you.
I said you're making this all sound so violent, ripping everybody's face off.
Well, no, I don't mean it.
Oh, I know. It's funny.
They're that good that they can actually, there it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to play it. And the good thing is, most of them weren't freaks. You know, they would take time and hear, I'll show you how to play that. You know, nice individuals, you know, and that's something you don't find too much. You have too many people with their head up there. Almost said a bad word. you got to be for real. You have to be for real.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
It's always good to stay true to who you are. It's always good to stay true to who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Be kind. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Because if you sit there and dump on everybody, who's going to help you? Who's going to want to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to get you nowhere. And a lot of people have that mindset that, you know, not everybody's out to hurt you.
Yeah, that's a good quote. And that's a good quote to end on. I hate to cut you off, Tom. I really do, but we're down to like a minute left. So, we've enjoyed. No, you're fine. It's been great.
You've been lots of wonderful information.
You've done wonderful.
Yes.
We'd appreciate you having you on. You're always welcome to come back.
Oh well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate you guys inviting me. Sorry for being so long winded.
Oh no, you're not. You're good. It's all good. Don't worry. You're great.
90 seconds.
All I can say in the last minute is all musicians help each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely. So it's been good speaking to you, and definitely we'll have you back again. You know, you guys, you know, if you get some more stuff going, we'd love to have you back.
I really appreciate that. Thank you guys so much, and I want you guys to have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Okay. You're welcome. I'm an hour ahead of you guys, so I want you to enjoy.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you ever so much for having me, and thank you people for listening to my long-winded speech.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Listen to Patrick Beer.
All right.
Rock on.
Rock on.
Okay, so that was Tom Brown from Pensive Fear.
Yep.
And then next week, you'll have Howie Bentley, right?
Yes.
I won't be here. I've got another meeting. I have one about every couple months or so.
Yep.
But Josh will be here entertaining you all with Howie Bentley.
He was our first guest on the show.
Yes, that's right. He was our very first guest on Night Moves Radio, so
and
he's coming back.
Just released his first sorcery short story collection. It's called the Snake Man's Bane.
Cool. So you guys make sure you tune in next Thursday at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, to listen to Josh and Howie Bentley. And so then we'll see you all next week.
Good night.
Good night. We'll be playing our sponsorship and then we'll be off for the evening. So everybody have a good evening.
Awakening Spirit of Productions. Thank you for all of you and your support of the